Day, and I have with me on the air Satya Kalra. I think that's hopefully Satya, I'm not mispronouncing your name. And she is the creator of A Path to Anandam. Did I say that correctly?
Anandam. Path to Anandam.
Okay. Your personal mission is to live and love peace and Anandam, and I'm gonna mess that. I have a feeling I'm gonna mess that up with that accentuation over the NA. I know, and we'll spell that out for folks. Your website, Path to Anandam.
You got it.
.org. I got it. Good. Yeah. So and that's spelled. Let me spell that out for those listening. It's www.pathtoanandam.org. So please go there and check out her website. You've had quite the background. You've worked in biotech for many, many years, and you have, and now you're now the creator of this wonderful space for people to really live their life in bliss. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the shifting from. I was reading that. I was like, you were in biotech, and now you're doing this. You've just shifted over to, you created a nonprofit spiritual organization that really helps others tap into their happiness and peace and blissful living, which is what we love to talk about here on Universal Energy Radio. So let's start there. Let's start about your journey, because that's what we love, is to hear the journey about your creation and what you've done.
Namaste. And I'm so grateful to you for inviting me to your exciting show. And it makes me very excited. And as you mentioned, I come from a biotechnology arena. And biology talks about the physiology of the body and the cells.
Mm-hmm.
And this shift I made, it talks more about the biology, but in a different approach, where the biology has, it talks about the real soul, what is in the biology, the soul which makes the cells move, the cells which make the DNA to work, our genes to work. So that connection of the soul to the living being makes us true human being, true living being, who we are. And who we are the true blissful Anandam people. Anandam means blissful state, where we are always in that eternal happiness, self-satisfaction, our true being, who we are. And that's the message I give to people, because how to experience a true being in ourselves, in other words, how to live happily. If we live happily and in blissful state or in Anandam, then we can feel blissful. If we just complain, whining about situations, feeling sad all the time, having negative attitude, having anger, resentment, hatred for others, and then how could we expect to be happy? Because our body, our every cell of the body is filled with anger, resentment, hatred. So we cannot be happy. So we have to make the transformation within ourselves and go to the source of ourselves. to every cell, every nucleus, every DNA, the genes, atoms, electrons, protons, whatever is in our body, to enrich every area of our body with that eternal happiness. Then we can feel happy. And once we feel happy, then we can give it to others, we can share with others, and we can spread with to others. And by doing that, other people become happy too. And when other people are happy, this energy in the universe changes. And we all, this universe, this whole world becomes a better place to live. Not just the world, but once we are happy, our surroundings, our family members, our community, our nation, the whole universe becomes a very good place to live. And that's the message I give. This is what I teach. And I tell people, it's not just ourselves. Can you imagine if this world is a peaceful place, more loving, more caring, more forgiving? Then what kind of future are we creating for our children? If we bring that environment in our family, we will have a stronger relationship, ourselves, with our partners, and among children too. And the family foundation gets stronger and stronger. And if the family foundation is stronger, then there will be a lot more compassion in our activity. And once we start giving this message, our children feel more safer. There is a less crime, less hatred, less shooting, even in the small children's schools. Can you imagine shooting in a kindergarten school? What happened? This is all the results of hatred which is in our body. So we have to transform this hatred energy into the love and compassion energy. And this is what I teach. And the path to Ananda means the path to blissful living and blissful life. So how to create it? And that's what basically I teach.
And that really is the question. And anybody, when you really think about everything that every human being does in life is to satisfy something, whether they call it the bills or whether they call it, you know, their happiness, or they're always on this journey, whether they're aware of what they're doing. It's like we've created, especially I know here in the West, we've created this perpetual way of being, and that we have to do things so that we have things, and it's on and on and on. And then in the process, really helping you find your happiness in whatever it is that you're doing, I think it's so important, because so many people do the doing and they're so unhappy and they're so angry. And I love what you said, because as we create this, as we be in our happiness, in our bliss, in our anadam, that is, we're being the example for not only our families, but those around us. And again, that's like a ripple effect, and it goes out into the world. And I love that. Now, what you're teaching also, you incorporate yoga into your teaching, correct?
Yes, actually the true meaning of yoga is connecting within yourself. Oneness. So we learn to create the oneness within ourselves. First we talk about the body, which is of course the physical exercises, etc. But also with our mind and with our breath. Because breath is the connecting element from body to mind and to our soul. Without breath, body is dead. The only link between the living being and the dead body is the breath.
Is the
when
breath.
We stop breathing, we are dead. So that breath connection, we talk about it. But in my book, which actually became the bestseller in October, Yoga Beyond Asana, the complete guide for blissful life. Yoga offers much more than physical exercise. Yoga is not just touching and bending your toes and touching your toes and running to the yoga studio and coming back. It is a true journey from the external world to your inner world, where you touch your soul, you feel connected, and when you feel connected, you feel calm. When you are calm, then we could listen to the voice of the Supreme, which we call it inner voice, or we could call it intuitions. We could hear it, and I love your show because it says law of attraction. This is it. Speaking to the universe through our silent language. Whether we give the messages by loudly speaking, or even we think in a slightest second, or even in our sleep, if we have some thought, the message we are giving it to the universe. And if it is meant for us, it is for the for our benefit, the universe will create it for us and bring it to us in tenfold. So we have to really be careful what we think. And in my book, Yoga Beyond Asana, it talks about the thought is the key element. So we have to make sure that our thoughts are which are directing our life, our destiny, our future, our whether we are liberated or we are bonded, whether we are helping the society or we are drawing the energy from the society, it all starts from the thought. Can you imagine this 9/11? It started with the one thought of hatred. And what has it done to the whole universe? At the same time, one thought of Buddha, how much peace it had created. One thought of Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi. Just the one thought that I want to help this universe. I want to help other human beings. Then India became free because of Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King. So all this power of thought, we have to really be careful what we put in our mind and how we manifest it, because universe is going to manifest it for us. We just have to make sure what we send to the universe.
It's so important to really understand that thoughts do become things. I mean, thoughts are, you know, really... that's our way of creation, and that's so true. Now, put all that together for me. Let's talk about, you know, what's really funny, Satya, is I have not done yoga in a while, and I used to take yoga classes, and I love, and the information that was sent over, I really want to talk about yoga as something more. You know, and I think I was doing yoga before I was on what I call my awareness journey. So I wasn't aware that what I was doing felt good, and what I was doing was taking time for myself. But I didn't really think of it as something beyond. And now I'm looking more into it, and I've been doing some other things. But I think, you know, readdressing yoga for me, I really feel like this is something that I'm going to move myself back into doing, because I feel like, you know, I do my meditations, and that has become so much more for me. It has created so many opportunities for me, I feel like. And one of my mantras is slow down to speed up.
When you can, we all have that, right? Because we all have A personalities within us. Yeah, I agree with you. So actually, as I mentioned, yoga is not just the physical element
right.
or the physical exercises which Western world consider. And actually,
yes. Yes.
Yoga means connecting of body, mind, and soul.
Mm-hmm.
Union of body, mind, and soul. So you use the exercises to strengthen your body
mm-hmm.
and then connect with the mind, because mind has a lot of old information.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we want to do certain things differently or change our habits or get out of some of the old thoughts or negativity, etc., but that information is in the mind. And whenever we want to do something good, that particular information comes in front of our mind. For example,
mm-hmm.
sun is risen in the morning and sun is shining. But when there are clouds in front of it, no matter how, sun is shining, but we are not able to receive it, the sun rays, sunshine, because there are clouds. Similarly, the information, what we have in our mind, that blocks it like a cloud.
Mm.
And our soul, which is pure, which is forgiving, caring, loving, wants to give this all energy to our every cell of our body and to the surroundings, is clouded by these clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And with our negative attitude takes over. And that shyness disappears. Like, for example, I could be very happy and all that, and all of a sudden something triggers in my mind and all of a sudden I'm very angry.
Right.
What happened to my smile? I was such a happy person this morning. This one phone call or something, some letter might have come in the mailbox or something. All of a sudden my old memories came and it totally mm-hmm. triggered my old information. It's just like mm-hmm. on the computer, you know, we have a lot of negative data. Unless we start deleting it,
mm-hmm.
the new information, computer cannot take the new information. Or if you want to get the new information, unless we delete the old information, it will pollute it. It will contaminate it. And go to your database and you have the content list and you try to put the new contents on that. But if you have the same information or similar old information about that particular person, your computer will ask you, do you want to save this or you want to delete it?
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, we have to do the similar thing to our mind to cleanse it. So that what yoga does, yoga means cleansing of the old information, cleansing of the body through the new exercises,
mm-hmm.
cleansing of the mind through self-transformation and self-purification. And when mind is pure, it does not have a resentment for another person, then person starts forgiving another person.
Yeah.
So this cleansing, yoga does the cleansing process for us. And that's why yoga has 8 steps. And every step, like very first step, it is called in yoga, is called yama. Yama means universal morality. How should we live with each other? We should not have we should be not violent. In other words, we should practice the non-violence, compassion for others, help others, but not hurt others. We should be truthful and honest to ourselves and with others. Non-stealing. And not being so greedy. You know, you just mentioned in the beginning, and then we are living in this materialistic world. Everybody wants to get everything for themselves.
Right.
And that is the main problem. And I can give you a nice metaphor, which I heard. This is a beautiful story. Somebody was explaining, what is the difference between hell and heaven? And the way the explanation was done, that there were some people who had a problem with hands and whole arms, so their elbow could not bend. So half the people were put in a one section and another half the population of the similar people put in the other place. And one was named as a hell and one was named as a heaven. So finally, the Supreme Head said, okay, let me go and explain you what is heaven and what is hell, which is easy to explain. And the way it was explained was, when you go to a heaven, since people could not bend their elbows, they could not bend their hands, so they could not feed themselves. But what they became so creative, they will pick up the food and put it in another person's mouth. So they were feeding each other. Since they couldn't bend their elbows, so they could not reach to their own mouth, but they could feed each other. And they were happy. And that was a heaven. But when the same group, Supreme Head, went to the other group where everybody was fighting and grouching and they looked very weak and crying and screaming and hungry, because everyone tried to pick up the food and try to take it to their own mouth. But since their elbow did not bend, they could not reach to their own mouth and everybody was hungry and screaming. So the fundamental difference here was serving yourself and serving others. So when we start sharing and caring for others and expressing our love, that's why one of the saints, Satya Sai Baba, said, love all, serve all. And when we adopt those kind of attitude, then we create heaven or a nice place for us to live. And that is the purpose of yoga. That first we should treat others well, and then also how should we live ourselves? And that's where it says contentment. Rather than grabbing everything for ourselves, we should be content and share with others. Also, we should purify our body, our mind. And then it talks about quite a bit developing the virtues like forgiving, awareness. As you mentioned in the beginning, that we many people do, but they might not be aware of it, what they are doing. Awareness is the key, the foundation to our life. If we are aware that what our body needs, what my mind needs to lead or live a happy life, then we should give those things to our mind and body and do proper exercises and do proper meditation and prayers and pranayama. All those are very, very important for the body. So it's not that only physical exercise is the yoga. Because many people relate exercise, yoga means only physical exercise. And once we do that, we must make sure that we learn some techniques to connect our body and mind to the breathing exercises. Because what happens that we breathe about 16 to 18 times a minute. 16 times to 18 times inhalation, and then another 16 to 18 times exhalation. And believe it or not, with every inhalation and exhalation, there is a one new thought goes in and one new thought comes out. So person has about 36 thoughts per minute. Which is amazing, right?
It is amazing.
So, but by pranayama exercises, when we try to connect our body with the breathing exercises, then our body slows down, our mind slows down. And instead of 18, we go below to like 10 or 12. And then when we do even more meditation exercises and spiritual practices, then it could go up to the 4, which is called like alpha, beta, gamma. I'm sure you must have heard those. These are the wavelengths of the mind. The slower it is, the better we can have more connection with the Supreme or our inner voice. higher conscious level or supreme energy, universal energy. That's why the more calmer we are, the better we can communicate with the supreme powers. That's why the people ask me, why some of my desires get fulfilled and others do not fulfill? What happened? When I talk to God, does he go to sleep or what happens? Why can't he hear me? And I said, there are two reasons God can hear you, cannot hear you. First of all, when we ask for something which is not good for us,
mm-hmm.
then God is not going to give it to us.
Mm-hmm.
The second part is, if we are totally connected and we are in the meditation, and when we communicate at that time with God, then we are connected and God could hear us better. There is no noise mm-hmm. disturbance between us. Because
right.
it's just like a tuning on to your radio station. And if we tune between one station to another station, we hear nothing but disturbance. But if we finally tune to your station, we can clearly hear the voice.
Clearly, yes.
So we have to tune in ourselves. And tune mm-hmm. in ourselves is a connecting. And yoga does a connection. That's why the yoga, the word came from Sanskrit word. You, Y-U, means yoga. It means connection
mm-hmm.
between, and that's why it comes first. We connect with our body, mind, and supreme, and then we connect with universe, with among ourselves. Whole game is a connection. Whenever we are disconnected, that's where it breaks the relationship. When we are disconnected, we get a lot of diseases.
Yes.
We are disconnected. All this disconnection. And where does this disconnection come from? Our anger, our resentment,
mm-hmm.
negative attitude,
mm-hmm.
too much greed, too much me, myself. I want everything for myself. And we get disconnected with others.
Yes.
So, one of the Yoga Beyond Asana book, actually I have another book which is called My Question and God's Answers. It is based on Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita has beautiful 18 chapters. And each chapter is called yoga. Means there is a different way of connecting with ourselves and the Supreme. So they talk about, in very first chapter, is the sorrow or despondency yoga. And when I first started reading that book, I was thinking about it. I said, how could the sorrow yoga, who wants to have a oneness with God through the sorrowness? I don't want to go through all the pain and miseries. You know? And then, part the lesson I learned that there is nothing good, bad, but when we experience and face the challenges in our life, at that time, rather than crying
mm-hmm.
and complaining, we should sit and pray to God and ask for the guidance
mm-hmm.
and use God as a companion rather than other people, because other people might not have experience, and then they might give you some wrong advice, or they might give you good advice, but they will give you the advice based on what they know, which might
yes.
not be for you. And so if you pray to God, then God will give you your guidance. He is your guide. So instead of crying at that time, go toward the Supreme. And that's where the message of this is one of the way to connect with God. Because what happens when we are happy, everything is going well for us, then we don't even think about God. We don't think about doing good for others. But when we are really have some challenges, that's the time to say, God, why me?
Why me?
God,
yeah.
Where are you? You know, and that's the time that God says, okay, I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be together. And that's the time we have to spend quietly and sit down and just pray to God and see what messages, what guidance we get. So that is the very first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that whenever you are in difficult time, how to handle that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is how to do your actions selflessly. Action, it's not like you do everything for everybody because we have to take care of our body. God has given us this body as a temple. We must mm-hmm. take care of our body. Because if I do not feed my body, I cannot serve the world. First, I have to take care of my body. So taking care of our body is also our dharma, our duty, our responsibility. And we have to be mentor to others. How we eat, how we speak, how we behave, everything we have to, like parents are a good mentor to their children. Children learn by absorbing and
yes.
And we should be not just to our children. We should be mentor to the whole community, whole nation, mm-hmm. whole world. But first we have to behave ourselves, right? And we have to
right.
do the things which, like you mentioned, yoga. So yoga is connect ourselves
mm-hmm.
and do the things which are beneficiary for the world. That's what the principle of karma yoga means. You must have heard the name karma yoga or yoga of action. Means do every activity, whatever we do, must be aligned with the universe and must be beneficiary mm. for the whole universe. Not just, mm. like for example, like a lot of drug dealers and all people, they make money. Or that these terrorists, they go and kill and they think that they are serving their own nation and their own religion. But it's not beneficiary for the whole humanity and universe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a good dharma. That's not a good karma. That's not a good
mm-hmm.
action. So this is a fundamental difference. So there's in Bhagavad Gita, there is a one karma yoga. There is also a called knowledge yoga, which means learn this knowledge, wisdom from the scriptures, from your own experiences, or go to gurus and learn this and then share with the world. And that's how you can become mentor. And do everything, but do not be egoistic and do not just think that you are the one who is doing it because there is a supreme power behind you in this body. Mm-hmm. The supreme power is the one which is conducting, helping you to run and speak and listen and
mm-hmm.
respect that power because that without
yeah.
that power, this body is dead. That consciousness, that supreme consciousness, and connecting and realizing that we are the part of the supreme power and experiencing it, that is the true yoga.
Mm-hmm. It's I call it doing things from the state of love and
mm-hmm.
just being in that state of love when you do anything in your life. I call this my awareness journey. I think we're all, when you're on this, when you're living life, and once you wake up to, either, hey, something has to change or something happens to you, maybe you feel, that there has to be a shift or there has to be something more. Usually it seems like that always seems to be the wake-up call, and then it's like once you become more aware, and you're always expanding on that. There isn't no limitation to that. I found the awareness in a state of love and being in a state of love when you create anything, when you take, I say, inspired action, not just action, but inspired action, when you're doing things from this state, it's to me, it's amazing what can be accomplished, even the people, and we talk about law of attraction, who you attract into your life and how that very, like this conversation, I always get tickled because I think, what had to happen for me to have this very conversation and how I'm so blessed to have this conversation? And I feel like, wow, there's an ongoing story there. And I laugh because I say 7 years ago, if you would have asked me if I would be doing this, I would say no. I would say a little bit more than that, but I would say no. I wasn't the person to
talk about spirituality and energy and breathing and universe and God, and that every day, it's an everyday, I don't even want to call it practice, it's just a state of being in this every day. And to me, that is that's the important thing. From, I know for me, it's very important that I be in this state. Does it happen all day, every day? No, of course not. You know, things happen in life. And as when you have that awareness, you go back to that. You always go back to that. You don't stay in a state of... What's that?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
I just say you don't stay in that state of anger or sadness or sorrow, and you don't stay in that state for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, because once it hits you, it doesn't feel so good, and you know that this doesn't feel good. And I guess, you know, when I'm listening to you and you say, you know, go, and when you're in a state of sorrow, you know, go talk to God, your supreme, your divine, your universe, your source, whatever label you want to put on it. And I said, that's exactly right. You know, I didn't even think about, I grew up in organized religion, so when I think of prayer, to me it's a totally different energy. And yet, mm-hmm. my prayers are for guidance. My prayers are for, show me the path, or show me, or bring to me what I need. In that experience now, understanding that when things are going, you know, maybe not what I would label as not so good, I stop. And I love what it's like, yes, I breathe. I like really breathe deeply and just stop where I am and even maybe step away.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I come back.
That's why all of my books, at
uh-huh.
the end, I have a daily spiritual planner. Because what happens when we are on this path? First of
mm-hmm.
all, spirituality is not an activity. It is a lifestyle.
It is, yes.
We live every moment of it. And to not to have a lot of garbage in our mind and negativity, and basically to delete the old information, it's a gradual process. So in
mm-hmm.
order to rewrite or add the new information to the mind, we have to add new data. So I have a daily spiritual planner, all of my books, and they start with say three favorite words, whatever you are. It could be whatever you, but mine is a Om mantra, because Om is the divine energy, or it is the supreme,
mm-hmm.
and the Sanskrit word which came from the, which is the originator of the whole universe. But to me, it came when I was pregnant with my daughter, and then one night it came to me, and it was just flying over me, and I felt so good, and I started practicing it, and it became a guiding light for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I always start my day with Om, and then this Om, what happened, like A-U-M, it could be spelled as O-M, but I spell like A-U-M.
Mm-hmm.
And A means Anandam. It came to me, Anandam. U means
mm-hmm.
unite. And M means me. So Anandam unites with me. That's a totally new meaning came to me. So I first thing I do in the morning, I 3 times, 11 times, 108 times, whatever, I just,
mm-hmm.
when I say Om Om, then all of a sudden Anandam, Anandam, Anandam comes. You know, it just keeps going on. And then,
mm-hmm.
but my books are like 30 days, guide, and these 30 days one can practice one particular message for that particular day, whatever the person
mm-hmm.
needs. And then I take that, read that, and keep practicing during the day, start contemplating it, and also do the yoga. I have a 60-minute program, but I tell people it could be only 15-minute program. So do 5-minute exercise, 5 minutes pranayama, which is a breathing exercises, and then 5-minute yoga. But if somebody has more time, they can use 20-20-20, whatever. And then
mm-hmm.
during the day, as I said, contemplate and practice. For example, if I want to practice to say, express my gratitude and say thank you to others, I will just have that gratitude note on my hand. Every time I go around, I just kind of say, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the evening, when I come home, I sit down and evaluate it. And that is in my spiritual planner. And sit down, that how many times did I say thank you to people? Because I was going to do 10 times. And then I say, uh-oh, I did it 8 times. I missed out 2 times. But no problem. Tomorrow is a new day. I will put more efforts. But then what I do, in the evening also, I pray to God and thank him for giving me the guidance to say thank you 8 times. And I also pray to him and ask him, please, can you help me again to say thank you to 2 additional people also?
Mm-hmm.
So rather than pounding myself that, I missed 2 times, no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do better and better every day. And mm-hmm. then I do my best and I let go. I let go everything, whatever I do. I say, God, mm-hmm. I'm doing, and if I miss it out, please help me. Please give me enough courage. Please give me enough wisdom. Because you and I are partners here. I am your disciple. I'm your partner. We are friends here. Whatever you want to call God, doesn't matter, you know. I feel like God is my friend. So I say, okay, look, we are friends, right? So you can help me out here, right? And I speak to God all the time.
Like, they ask, you know, you have to ask, right? If you don't
Beyond, you know, that I have another book, which is Prosperity Forever, which is coming. And next month is going for the bestseller campaign. And I have the similar things, but in that book, I have again 30 days tips, what is prosperity, what stops us to feel abundance, and how to feel abundance. But I talk about it that prosperity is not just collecting the materialistic things, getting the big titles and getting the big promotions and buying big cars and big homes. But prosperity is your good health, your good character, your being is your prosperity, your self-satisfaction is your prosperity. Your dharma, whatever you do it for the benefit of the world, that's your dharma and that gives you a lot more satisfaction and that is your prosperity. So in that book, even I talk about it, you know, at the end of the book, all of my books also have a poem. So I just want to read you a little poem here, which is in that book. And it says, just for today, I take full responsibility of my action. I have faith in myself and Almighty. I give more and expect less. I forgive myself and others. I let go of all my worries. Just for today, I respect myself and others. I love myself and others. I think positive. I speak the truth. Just for today, I thank others. I enjoy myself and smile. I meditate and pray. I relax. Just for today, I am happy. I am peaceful and I am prosperous.
Mm. One day at a time.
One day at a time.
Yes.
But to just do one thing for that day, not like having 20 things on my list and like worrying about it. And then, of course, few things are going to be left out. And then at end mm-hmm. of the day, pounding myself for not completing my list. No, just take one thing. Do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
other things. If you get it done, fine, let it go. Tomorrow is a new day, and then do it again.
Right. I think that's so important that people get that, because so many people berate themselves for, you know, and I want to say, too, like, some people think that this is, maybe they compete with their own inner thoughts, you know, I have to do this, I have to accomplish this, and then when it doesn't get done, they spend, you know, a day or a week or a year even berating themselves for what they perceive as a failure. Or, you know, it could be something like that. Or it could be just, like you said, I'm gonna smile and say thank you to 10 people, but you only get 8. Maybe you only saw 8 people, you know, during the day. So, again, it's you know, instead of being upset about the 2, be thankful for the 8 thankfuls. You know, it really is a perspective. It's a shifting of perspective, and how we view life. And I feel like it is so important to understand that you have so many vehicles to move into this type of energy, to move into the Anadam energy and live a blissful life. Let me just give your website here, too, for those that are coming on and listening. I'm speaking with Satya Kalra of PathToAnadam.org, and I want to spell that out for those of you. It is PathToAnadam.org, and so you can go and see Satya's website, and your books are on there, yes?
Yeah, my books are on my website as mm-hmm. well as that on Amazon.com as well.
Okay, so so they can find you and what you're talking about. I love this because I feel like this is what we talk about here on Universal Energy Radio, and I love the different perspectives and the energy that you're bringing with you. And for our listeners, I really appreciate that because, I mean, even those of us that are on this journey and we immerse ourselves daily, there are times when, you know, really get frustrated. Like, recently I've even had a conversation. I said I'm just frustrated at myself because I look at my life and I think, from the external, everything looks great. But internally, what is going on, sometimes on the inside, it's like there has to be this peace and there has to be this happiness. And when it's not there, I question, what is that? And then I do what you say. I sit still and I'm very quiet. And I say, just give me that guidance. And sometimes that guidance comes in within myself. And sometimes I have, people will show up. I was very blessed to have a friend show up. A couple of friends actually show up the other day, and we had this amazing discussion. And what a thrill to be able to communicate like this and speak with people who understand this conversation.
Important.
Yes. Who really are not saying, oh, you're off your rocker because you look at you. And it's like, it's not about, again, when I was first on this law of attraction journey, this awareness journey, I had my list of all the material possessions that I wanted to possess, and I had this thing, and then after about 3 months, I started stepping it back. And the bottom line is, why do I want all of the stuff? Why do I want that? And it's just to be happy. So if you keep in mind, everything you do is for your happiness, the happiness of your family,
correct,
the happiness of those around you. It's amazing how that shift alone,
everything in our life, we do it for happiness. And
yes.
And the problem is, to get that happiness, we create so much misery for ourselves and so many wants ourselves, and we create more turmoil in our life. But the beauty of this journey, or this beautiful spiritual journey, is that even though we get lot of litmus tests like that, like we get unhappy and something comes up and it shows our emotions, and sometimes, I used to get frustrated, and not only that, somebody will say, oh, you are on the spiritual path, you still get mad. And I say, look, I'm a human being. And what happens on this path, like we are on the spiritual path, it's just like we are weeding out the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And when we weed out all the weeds and we put all the roses, but there are still some seeds of the weeds come out once in a while here and there. So we have to go back and weed out that weed also.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the process. That beautiful garden of roses will be there, but there are occasionally there will be some weeds will pop out too. And
mm-hmm.
But the beauty of that is that before, when I used to get upset maybe for a day, maybe for a week, maybe for a month, now I would get affected maybe for 5 minutes, maybe for 10 minutes, maybe for 1 day, maybe for 2 days, depending on the situation. But I come back to the situation, normal, calm down, and I feel like I can witness myself, and I say, okay, this little Satya is behaving this way. Now let me align this little Satya's mind here. Because my Supreme Satya is speaking to this body and mind of Satya. And so I could align it. So I am working on preparing or making my garden more beautiful every day, but my threshold has increased. I do not get upset with small things. Big things still does it bother me, and someday I hope they stop. But I am a lot better. I can compare myself how I used to be compared to who I am today.
Yes.
Okay, and that's the only barometer I have. And again, I am going to get some litmus test, because I call it like we try our hard to do all these spiritual practices and feel good. And sometimes feel like, oh, I got it. And then God says, okay, let me test you out, right? then we get a test. And then we little bit get unaligned. Like my steering wheel start going off the lane again. So I pull it back, because the steering wheel is in my hand, and that's my spiritual practices, and God is with me. Because anytime it like happened to me, I say, okay, God, I'm your friend. Look, it's getting a little bit unaligned here. Can you please help me? Could you please help me? Could you please help me? And I get help.
Get me back on the road, yeah. Right?
So then one of my gurus said at one time, he says, never, if some things happen to you, don't ask God, why me, why me? Don't cry like that. Tell God, try me, because you and your God is your friend. So tell God, try me. Let's see what happens here.
I always say, when you ask God, why me, God will show you. So don't ask that question.
Yes.
Oh, yes. We'll give you more. God will give you more of that. You want why me?
Yes.
Here's some more. Ah, that's not what I wanted, you know. No,
yeah.
you're not looking for that answer. You're looking for the solution.
Because even you said try me, when he tries you, but you tell him you are my friend, so he won't let you suffer, because you're his friend, right?
Yeah.
So just have that connection, that friendship with God, or I call it partnership. If you are in a business, have a partnership with God. Whatever you want, doesn't matter which language you use. As long as we connect ourselves with our goodness. And we eat good, we hear good, we speak good, we do good, and feel good. Then we will feel good. So the key to feeling happiness and path to anandam is try to do things which gives you self-satisfaction and the good for the whole universe rather than just for yourself. And you will get this abundant self-satisfaction and prosperity, and you feel like complete, true human being.
The true you.
True you.
It really is the true you when you allow that to come through, when you allow, I say, allow God or Source or Universe to work through you. And when you can view the world through the eyes of God or through the eyes of Source or through the eyes of Universe, the Divine, that's the beautiful part of it, you know. And I always joke around and say, you know, what would Source do? How would Source see this? How would God see this? You know, I'm looking at this situation, and maybe it doesn't feel good right now, but how would God see it? God would send unconditional love. God would hug this person, you know? It's like, I don't want to hug them right now, but I know God would hug them right now. Source would hug them right now, so I'm gonna send them a hug, and if they don't want to hug me, physically hug me, I'm going to send them an energetic hug. I'm just going to love them, you know? Just be in that state of love. And, I joke around with my sister, especially, because I remember a long time ago, even before this journey that I'm on now, but I would, they always thought I was a little cuckoo anyway, because I would say, I'm sending you love. I don't get you. It's like, I'm just sending you love. Don't worry about it. I'm just sending you love. Yeah, I love you. I love you. I love you. No matter what, I just love you, love you, love you. And I have to put that out there and say, I love you. You know, it doesn't serve me to be angry at someone. It doesn't serve me to be sad. It doesn't serve me. And I have to get back to that and understand, you know, there are things in life that happen that make you sad, make you grieve, make you even depressed. And yet you have to realize that only in that moment, that brief moment, and then it doesn't feel good. And you say, wait, I have total control over this. I can ask mm-hmm. Source to guide me and move
mm-hmm.
me into this state of, I say, go into a state of observation and really look at the situation and say, whose story is this? Is this truly my story that I'm going to hang on to? Or is this something I had absolute no control over? Someone, and I'm not going to give my energy away to another person, another place, another thing. I'm just going to allow this, and I can step away from this because I can look at this through the eyes of Source, and I can be in the divine right now. And I tell you, that's a process to get there. But I love that you don't stay in that negative
state. No, I fully, that's why you look at my logo,
mm-hmm.
my logo, the heart shape, and there's the Om or the symbol of divinity. And once you have that connection and you
mm-hmm.
focus on the heart, the love keeps flowing, and not just love keeps flowing, but your heart becomes full with forgiveness. And when
mm-hmm.
you have a forgiving and loving
mm-hmm.
heart, then your mind gets filled with peace. And when I am with peace and filled with love and my whole heart, my whole body,
mm-hmm.
it expands to the whole universe. I don't see anybody then at that time separate or hated or anybody. I love everybody in the universe. Doesn't matter what that person has done to me or
right.
what that is doing. Because my love is beyond reaching or it's beyond it. Just going all over the universe. The sky is getting filled. The whole house is getting filled. The whole. So I feel so enriched with that. And that's why every morning I have the prayers. And my prayers are to God, that God, please be with me today, just for today. Be with me. Whatever I think, the thought has to be the same thought as you think for the universe. And I want to hear the things what you hear. I want to see the things the way you see in this in universe. And I want to do the things what you do for this universe. And please take me to the places wherever you will go. And bring those people in my life, whoever you will take me. So please be with me and use me, your messenger. And if you, if certain places, if you are not there, just send me. And we, and so these are my prayers. And I just pray to God all the time that you and I are one. So let's just be one. And don't let this little Satya be separated from you. And,
that's so important.
And I get so much blessings and so much peaceful from that. And direction of my life has changed since I have 100% devoted my life toward it. Like you said, I have worked in biotechnology area for 35 years. I have been in this country for more than 43 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And achieved whatever I wanted to achieve. Like my very first job was like sweeping the floor in the factory, and I was getting minimum wage through a temporary agency, $1.65 in 1970. And I reached all the way to become CEO. I became chairperson. I founded companies. I sold companies. I did everything what I wanted to do. And but still, this pendulum of happiness and unhappiness was still there. And until, but during that process, I learned how to centralize myself. And rather than staying on one side of the pendulum, I totally came in the center. And when I came in the center, my life had totally changed. And that's what I do in Path to Anandam. I share my services. I share my techniques, and I have taught more than thousands of people. Go to workshops, give workshops, write books, give talks and seminars, and a lot of international conferences and private sessions. And I teach a lot of healing through meditation to some cancer patients and some physical ailments, because I come from a scientific background, so it helps people to go through that exercises, going through every cell of the body and the nucleus and DNA, and how you go through every atom and every electron, proton, and fill this love, compassion, anandam, pure, divine, healing energy every part of the body, and then you see that that becomes like with the chemo. Chemo does the same thing, but here you fill your whole body with this divine, pure, healing energy. And I teach those to people. And I am fully enjoying myself. And I teach. I mean, people with the relationships, like with the CEOs and with the nurses and managers and youth. Like some of my books are being used in universities like UC Berkeley, and almost every university has my question and God's answer book, like Duke University, Harvard, Stanford. Almost every university has in their library. And they use in their courses also, like one of my book was used in Code of Ethics, where sometimes students get confused. What is my dharma? What is my righteousness? What action should I be doing? Many confusing questions, not even the youth, the adults. We all go through these confusions and questions every day in our life. And answers are given in those in that book. I get that question all the time. How do I know what is good for me? What is my dharma? And I say, depending. If you are a student, your number one responsibility or duty or dharma is to pay attention to your studies, be loyal to your organization, your university, and spend all the time to build your career. And whatever needs your school needs, help school, volunteer, whatever, but your activities focus should be more on helping yourself, your friends, and the university, and building your career. That is your number one dharma. Yeah. Then people ask, what happened to my girlfriend? Wouldn't my girlfriend will get ignored? I said, she's a student too. So bring her on the same path. So you both should be doing the same thing rather than just after the classes you just go and just go to the beaches, just have sex and all that. This is fine, but your prime responsibility is at this age is to build your career. And if you are a CEO, then your prime dharma is to take care of your company selflessly, take care of your employees, your customers, bring the best product in the market, and do not have a cutthroat or big competition, but have a collaboration kind of strategy, have a team-building approach, have a good environment and culture in the company. That's what the CEO is supposed to be doing and executing and being a mentor to everybody in the company. And if you are a housewife, be the best housewife, best mother. So whatever role you have, and the best thing is one person has many roles. I am the mother, I am the sister, I am the wife. So I have to play all the roles very well. But all the roles can be played very well if I have a heart filled with love and I do with everything with love and compassion and do not put my self-interest in front of all, and I want everything from other people and not to share with others. And that's what my book says, just for today, I will expect less and give more. And I have been doing these practices like for, as I said, more than 35 years. And the books I write these books in meditation, like Yoga Beyond Asana, believe it or not, I wrote that book only in a week and a half. Because I was in meditation, and the message came to me that I should write that book. Because I had been going to these yoga conferences, and I see there are a lot of egoism, that my studio is better, my yoga practices are better, because I can bend better. My yoga, my studio offers a lot more bending, a lot more flexibility to the body, a lot more training. And so it become more like an egoistic mind game rather than a connection with the spirituality. And the body, even sometimes you see it in yoga studios, sometimes people are so weak and so sick because they want to be. It's a, they think yoga studio is like a more like a fitness center.
Mm.
And it is not just a fitness center. You eat well. You
mm-hmm.
think well. And then you connect. And then you act according to the supreme will and supreme messages because you are
mm-hmm.
connected.
That's wonderful. Well, Satya, we've talked for over an hour.
Yeah. Oh,
this
I did not realize it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Actually, I'm going to ask you to, if you would come back on the air with us maybe in a couple months and be on again.
I would love to do that.
That would be amazing. I'd love this. I love the energy. I love the conversation and just, you know, feeling, I'm feeling what you're saying and it's beautiful. And when we connect, and I just want to, and that was my thing with yoga, and I get that with yoga, and I feel like with everything you do on a daily basis, it should be part of your daily spiritual practice, and really be aware, and really in whatever you do, and yoga is a great way to find your center, find your center, and get in touch with Source. It's very, very, it's good stuff. I haven't done yoga in a while. I have really seriously, like, looking around going, okay, there's a yoga studio right down the street. I'm going to go visit Marilyn.
Good.
Find
yoga means activity that brings you closer to yourself and to Supreme.
Yes.
That's what yoga means. So
yeah.
Anything.
So next time
anything you are doing in your life and bringing you closer to your true, your being, that is yoga.
Yes.
So you might not be doing the physical exercises and asanas, but you are doing yoga. Remember that.
Yes. The next time I talk to you, I'm gonna give you my experience. I'm gonna let you know my experience and how it's going, because I'm gonna be in the middle of all of that. So it's gonna be great. Like, I look forward to it. But
thanks,
I just want to say
very much.
I do need. And we do need to wrap it up. I am speaking with Satya Kalra, and her website is www.pathtoanandam.org. It's PathtoAnandam.org. She is an author now of 6, going on 7 books. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Speaker, author, motivator. Wonderful, beautiful energy. Thank you so much for joining me on Universal Energy Radio. Is there anything you have any last words you want to tell our audience?
I just would say a little prayer. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace for my mind, peace for my heart, peace for my body, and peace for the whole universe.
Mm. Beautiful.
And thank
Absolutely
you very
beautiful.
Much for having me on.
Oh,
this.
Thank you. You are so appreciated. And, just very appreciated. I have goosebumps on my arms. I love this. This is just beautiful energy. Thank you so much. And, yes, I'm going to get in touch with you off air, and we'll schedule you for a couple of months to get back on air with us. This is great. Folks out there, thank you so much for tuning in to Universal Energy Radio. You are so appreciated. And remember that life is a journey. Be happy where you are and watch where it takes you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
This is John.